Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
The incoming Republican leadership has indicated it might disband the House Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming. In 2006, Nancy Pelosi, as the new Speaker of the House, created this committee after both houses of Congress switched control from Republican to Democratic. With the White House and bigger majorities after the 2008 elections, Democrats hope to enact comprehensive energy and climate legislation, but their control of Congress has proved short-lived. David Kreutzer, research fellow in energy economics and climate change with the Heritage Foundation, has these thoughts.
Decades-long mandates are fickle things. Republicans recaptured the House much more quickly and decisively than any could have thought 2 years ago. With their new majority in the House, Republicans are likely to do something many Democrats probably wish they had done themselves 2 years earlier: eliminate the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming. Though the Select Committee never had legislative authority, it could only hold hearings and make recommendations, it was the bullhorn for climate legislation, and its leaders were instrumental in passing the Waxman-Markey cap-and-trade bill of 2009. That bill would have levied an energy tax of tens to hundreds of billions of dollars per year, and for the first decade, virtually all of the revenue had to be promised to a host of special interests, from tree farmers to utility companies, in order to engineer the slimmest of majorities for the bill's passage. A large tax increase during a recession is bad economics and bad politics. So the deal-making and arm-twisting backfired, especially for those who voted yes in energy and manufacturing districts. Virtually none who voted for Waxman-Markey made that vote part of their campaign this year. Instead, those in close races bragged they didn't vote for Waxman-Markey or they did their best to dance around their vote. It appears even the Select Committee saw the writing on the wall. In 2009, the committee issued 104 press releases, 52% of which were about global warming science or legislation. As cap-and-trade became an anchor around the necks of legislators, the bullhorn turned elsewhere. Of the 131 press releases in 2010, only 16% concerned global warming science or legislation, whereas 52% dealt with the Gulf oil spill, a much more popular target. What, then, does the future hold for the Select Committee on Energy Independence and Global Warming? Encouraging a politically suicidal vote for many House members as its main accomplishment, the committee is likely to die early in the next Congress, with little mourning on either side of the aisle.
David Kreutzer, research fellow in energy, economics, and climate change with the Heritage Foundation. But former Greenpeace USA leader John Passacantando sees the situation and the GOP's plans rather differently.
Ed Markey's Select Committee had two roles, one good, one bad. And now without it, things are going to get ugly. First, the good. While some of the biggest polluters were paying front groups to deny global warming, and the mainstream press was blindly covering it, Markey's committee brought in top scientists to talk about the emerging science on climate change. Experts explained climate change's role in driving wildfires, more powerful storms, the meltdown of the Greenland ice sheet, even the impacts in New England. His committee investigated and exposed polluters' use of front groups to send fabricated letters opposing climate legislation to House members from senior citizens, minorities, and veterans. Markey's team probed into BP and Halliburton's roles after the deep oil well explosion in the Gulf of Mexico. The Select Committee was the central, trusted place in America where the truth could be told about climate change. Now the bad. Markey's committee, working closely with Representative Henry Waxman's team, wrote and passed climate legislation, hoping the Senate could do the same and President Obama could sign it. Unfortunately, many of the biggest environmental groups, with notable exceptions like Greenpeace and Friends of the Earth, simply didn't hold the line. The House bill was a massively complicated 2,000-page document containing huge subsidies to the coal industry and coal-burning power companies like Duke Energy, an unfortunate part of the Democrats' base. This climate bill also created a sketchy carbon trading regime for Wall Street that sounded eerily like the market in securitized mortgages that brought us the financial bubble. Then a similar bill collapsed in the Senate, but the yes vote in the House remained a terrible liability in the election. Some three dozen Democratic House members who voted for this bill lost their seats. Of course, these members faced races in the toughest of economic times. Adding to that, a vote for a climate bill that became a corporate giveaway didn't help. And finally, the ugly. Incoming Republican Speaker John Boehner has promised to get rid of these specially created select committees. He's also skeptical when it comes to climate change. And with no limit on how much money corporations can now plow into political campaigns, he's likely to find plenty of support in this new era. What's next? Do you remember back in June when Republican House member from Texas, Joe Barton, apologized to BP for the rough treatment it was getting from the White House for pumping all that oil into the Gulf of Mexico? The polluters are going to be handled with kid gloves again. Good times for them, bad times for the planet. This storm will pass, but for right now, hold on. It's going to be a wild ride.
John Passacantando is president of Our Next Economy, a business designed to help renewable energy efforts navigate the opposition from fossil fuel interests. Coming up, a landmark deal to protect nature. That's just ahead, right here on Living on Earth.
Support for the Environmental Health Desk at Living on Earth comes from the Cedar Tree Foundation. Support also comes from the Richard and Rhoda Goldman Fund for coverage of population and the environment, and from Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.